This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, the Christmas catalog edition of The Next Step. Yep, we're going to help you make that selection for that perfect Christmas gift. I know, what can I say? We're being infiltrated from all sides. Even our music is being questioned now, but I know you enjoyed it. And you're going to enjoy what's ahead. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, brought to you by the cool folks at epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, cold enough, let's take the next step. I'm so glad you're with us today. And if you're not running, I hope you're nice and bundled up. I know it's cold all over the place. It's very cold over here, and we're in Southern California. And got the heater on. We're at Epostle Studio in Glendale, California. Got Ani here with her bubbles today. Got Susie, our producer, our Ken, our engineer, and we're ready to put together our Christmas catalog edition. Yeah, you heard me right. In fact, the music at the beginning, wasn't that nice? I mean, aren't you getting just hit by all angles? So I said, well, why not? Let's let the next step hit you too. Anyway, we're so glad you're with us today. And if you've been a follower of The Next Step, you know my tongue is in my cheek. My tongue is in my cheek as I'm saying all this kind of stuff, because you know we've got an edition for you that's going to kind of push it to the limits. Hey, I'm so glad you're with us. And all the people who've been sending us feedback this past few weeks on all of the programming that's been taking place on Epostle. Today, by the way, is the eighth season. We begin the eighth season of The Next Step. Thank you. Are you guys through? Thank you. Anyway, we are excited. Of course, it means that for eight seasons, this is the eighth season, I guess seven seasons we're finishing up, we've been bringing you The Next Step once a week, religiously. And every pun is intended in that, too. Religiously, we're bringing you The Next Step into your homes, into your business places. We get like emails from people on their business email. I think that's kind of neat, too, you know. And I won't tell you who, but it's just kind of nice. It's kind of nice that in the work environment, wherever they may be, sometimes in offices, maybe in cubicles, people have us plugged in, and we get all kinds of, we get, of course, the usual fare of people listening in on personal MP3 players, and of course, iPod, with all due respect to Apple Computers and their registered trademark. And of course, we've got the people who burn it on CD and listen to it in the car. I heard from somebody this past week who said that when they heard this last show that we did about the satellite XM TV radio signal that was coming in, quickly they went to try to find these stations. And I should have said that, I guess it's a subscription service. Now, I happen to have been renting a car that had that plugged in for some reason. It was not on my contract, but, you know, I got away with it. So, yes, we don't tell people when we don't get charged for those kind of services, especially when they annoy us as much as it did. But it did give us reason to reflect. It did give us a subject and a topic to discuss on The Next Step. So I guess, yeah, we got to be paying them for the idea, but I refuse. Anyway, they were looking for this, and then I asked that person, I said, well, that was interesting, and just interested to know, how are you listening to it in the car? And sure enough, they said that they download it once a week and burn the next step on a CD so that, first of all, they have an archive of it, and then they're able to listen to it in the car and pass it out to friends, especially some of our older people. Let's say the technologically challenged who might have a difficulty hitting that little podcast button. I know. It's podcasting. It's still a wild idea out there. But we're enjoying it over here. Hey, did you get a chance to listen to Compass this week with Linda Zadoyan? Man, I thought that was a really, really great episode. Linda went out with our homeless team, and she interviewed them as they were getting ready for their homeless run. As you know, our church does a once-a-month feeding of the homeless in this area under the In His Shoes banner. And so this week, the Compass led us right there to the homeless feed. And she actually interviewed some of these people who were going on the homeless run, why they do it. What motivates them on cold nights, especially, to leave family, leave friends, leave the comfort of home, and go out there and really take care of people who nobody else seems to care about? And it was just beautiful to hear their answers, because I started realizing that, you know, all of this is sinking in. I mean, the answers were coming in line with what Christianity is, what the Christian message is, what Christ demands of us. Yes, we talk about Christian responsibility, but how about the demand of Christianity? Now, that's different, isn't it? When we talk about the demand, it means we are required. Required. Remember, there's that incident where Jesus, his brothers and mother come up to see him. And I remember hearing this story many times as a young guy. I'd hear this story, and you know what the discussion would be about? Well, Jesus didn't have brothers. Well, you know, Mary was a virgin, and she never had bore any other children besides Jesus. And there's this beautiful story about the mother and brothers of Jesus that it says comes to see him in the Bible. And the workaround is that, of course, those brothers mean cousins, because in the Middle East, as many of our listeners in the Middle East know, that, you know, they're called brothers. You know, cousins are also brothers and everything. And the discussion goes around this aspect about who's the brother and who's the mother and what are they doing coming to Jesus. And they fail to get the message that comes out of that story. Because Jesus turns around and he says, who are my brothers? Who is my mother? Except him who hears the word of God and does it. Now that part of the story is too difficult for us to discuss. So we focus in on, well, the virgin birth, and was Mary always a virgin? Was there children after Jesus? Who are the real brothers? The Middle Eastern idea of brotherhood, of cousinhood, and we escape the very story that it tries to teach us. Who are my brothers? Those people who hear the word of God and do it. So it's the demand. It's the demand to do it. It's not enough to hear it. To be part of Christ's family, that is, to be a Christian, you need to do it. And so that's what we got to experience on this week's Compass. Linda took the microphone and just hearing different people, and of course, Anush and Susie leading the pack. They were talking about what it's meant to them for the last 4 years, and you get to hear a very inside edition, so to speak, an inside look at what goes on at the homeless run. So I invite you to check it out if you haven't heard it already. It's Compass number 11, I believe. It's the last one. It just came out a couple days ago. Definitely worth a listen to, as all of them are. And want to thank all of the wonderful feedback we're getting on that. And of course, Linda's on Facebook, and you could follow her, Linda Zadoyan, and let her know what you think, how it's going over there. Of course, we got the same crew on the fronts too. We got Susie and Ken, and actually Susie speaks in this Compass. That's kind of neat. I remember a few years ago, it reminded me a few years ago, there was this show here in America, long-running game show. It's called it's on after Jeopardy. It's called Wheel of Fortune. That's right. And the Wheel of Fortune is probably all over the world, I'm sure. It's so popular, it's been running at least 30 years, as I remember. And there is the game show host, and then there is this other woman who changes who turns the letters. And I remember this was much fascination to the world early on in the game, because there were articles about, like, who is this person? She changes the letters. She actually turns the letters. Now I think she just taps them. They're electronic, you know. And I remember early on in the game reading an interview where they asked her, well, you know, what is your job? And she said that on her IRS form, that's our means of paying taxes here in the United States, there's a line there that says occupation, and she fills in letter turner. Anyway, the reason I'm telling you, her name is Vanna White, and she wrote a book at the beginning of the game when she was very, very popular at that time, and the name of the book was Vanna Speaks. Because nobody ever heard her speak. She would always be up there turning the letters. You never heard her speak. So the name of this book was Vanna Speaks, and I don't know what it was about. I guess her memoirs, her reflections. Anyway, I thought of that this week, because much more than letter turning, Susie is our producer, which involves a lot of letter turnings, box lifting, programming computers, installing software, making sure that systems speak to one another, uploading, downloading, and eventually getting this podcast to you, our end listener. And you hear me talk about her a lot, and she speaks, you know, beginning of the end of our show. But in this week's Compass, you hear her talking candidly, and including that infectious laugh that she has. So again, I do invite you to check out Compass, this week's Compass. Hey, we've got a great show for you. As I said, this is going to be called the Christmas Catalog Edition, because we are being bombarded all over the place from all kinds of vendors who are trying to sell us their goods and services for this Christmas season. And why not? I mean, have you ever thought about this? You know, people sometimes complain. I've heard many people complain about, oh, they don't say Merry Christmas anymore. They say Happy Holidays. People get all bent out of shape. You know, it's like the story about Jesus and his brothers. People start, they let this fester within them, you know. Have you ever thought what a holiday is? It's a holy day. Happy Holy Day. Hey, that's not bad. Well, what is a holy day? It's the day that Christ is born. So I don't have a problem with happy holidays. That's okay, all right? Now you think about Christmas and you say, well, they're not honoring Christmas. It's become commercialized. Well, no duh. You know, like in this country, as long as I can remember, I'm in my 50s, as long as I can remember, there's been this argument that Christmas has been commercialized, that people have forgotten the meaning of Christmas. Okay, people have. What about you? Do you remember what Christ, the challenge that Christ put out to his disciples? He turned to them and he said, who do people say that I am? And they all started talking. Oh, some people think that you're John the Baptist. Come back to life. Come back to be with us. Some people think that you are Elijah, come back to life. You're one of the prophets from ancient years. From many hundred years ago, you've come back to life. Everybody says something or another. Then Jesus turns it over to them and he says, and who do you say that I am? And it's at that point that St. Peter rises and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, so think about it for a moment, okay? The world is saying, happy holidays. Some people want to say Happy Hanukkah. Others, I think a few years ago, I haven't heard it lately. Kwanzaa, remember that? Yeah, okay, there was another celebration, Kwanzaa. You know, I think in August, there's people who celebrate Ramadan. Okay, there are people who do a lot of things. A lot of people believe in other things. Now the question is to you, it's to me. Who do you say that I am? What is the feast to you? Merry Christmas. It's Christmas. That's it. It's not important what everybody else does. What's important is, what are you saying about it? You know, last night we were studying the book of Acts at our Questions in Faith seminar last night. And I believe it was broadcast. We streamed it on Apostle. And I'm saying I believe because I didn't see the aftermath. I'm pretty sure we had Susie at the controls last night. And usually if Susie says it's done, it's done. So let's assume that it came out. And I'm not questioning her, but what I'm questioning is actually the technology. We've had some problem with microphones. Yes, hint, hint. We always need extra. We always need money to upgrade our equipment. But anyway, if you had a chance to check it out, we were studying the book of Acts, the fifth chapter. There's an interesting story in there because a group of Sadducees filled with jealousy go after the apostles. And they incarcerate the apostles. They put them in jail so that they cannot preach anymore. And interestingly enough, it says that it was out of jealousy that they put them in that prison. And the scripture says that at that point, an angel of the Lord was sent, opened the doors of the prison, and gave them the instruction to go out and preach, to go out and do what you need to do. And when the Sadducees came back to the prison, they found the doors of the prison were closed. But the prison, the jail, was empty. Now think about this for a moment. Out of jealousy or whatever it is, many people will try to stifle you of doing what you need to do in life. And I'm talking about this in terms of Christmas. It's a Christian holiday, and it's ours, and we can be confined by that stifling, and you can take it also in your personal lives, too. People will try to stifle you in what you have to do. You're a big person. You know what you have to do in life, but people, sometimes out of jealousy or other things, they will come, and they will prevent you from doing it. They will put you in a jail. The message of God is the same message that he gave to the apostles. Get out of that jail. And do what you have to do. Do what you are ordained to do. Do the talent that is inside of you, that is God-given. Become the person you're supposed to be. Become the best you're supposed to be. And that message is clear. And when the adversaries come back, they find an empty jail, but look, the doors are closed to it. In other words, it's a dead end. That jail belongs to them. It belongs to other people. Yes, sometimes people will come down on Christmas. They will complain about it. They will talk about it. Oh, well, who wants to celebrate Christ's birth? We don't believe the world isn't Christian. Okay, let's get on with life, you know? The majority of the world is not Christian. Can we admit that? Okay. So, this is the celebration of Christ. This is the celebration of God taking form. This is the celebration of love within us. Now, how do we celebrate that love? By complaining, by protesting, or becoming the living examples of that love in this life. And it's with that preface that I'm going to give you the Christmas guide. The Armadoxy Christmas Guide, or what we call the Christmas Catalog Edition, according to Armadoxy. Coming up right after the song of the day. I've waited a little bit too long for this. How about a Christmas carol? I love this one.
Down in yon forest there stands a hall. The bells of paradise, I hear them ring. It's covered all over with purple and pall. And I love my Lord Jesus above anything. In that hall there stands a bed, the bells of paradise, I hear them ring. It's covered all over with scarlet so red, and I love my Lord Jesus above anything. At the bedside there lies a stone, the bells of paradise, I hear them ring. The sweet Virgin Mary knelt upon, and I love my Lord Jesus above anything. Foot there grows a thorn, the bells of paradise, I hear them ring. For which ever blows blossom since he was born, and I love my Lord Jesus above anything. Over that bed the moon shines bright, the bells of paradise I hear them ring, denoting our Savior was born this night, and I love my Lord Jesus above anything.
That's a nice little tune. You don't hear too often in holiday mixes. That's Joan Baez singing Down in Yon Forest. It's off of the Noel album, an old album that I love. I love resurrecting every year at Christmas time. Puts me in the mood. We'll put a link on our show notes. You can check that out and check all the wonderful music that we play over here. Have you received all of your Christmas catalogs in the mail by now? Have you received all the email that tells you, press this button, point your browser to this site or that site? How about on your phone? How about those little apps that tell you, hey, press me, because there are some great goodies over here? Well, as promised, this is the Armadoxy Christmas catalog. Yeah, did you know that the Armadoxy, basically the Armenian Orthodox faith, has its own Christmas catalog with little things that you can buy, trinkets that you can purchase, and while unusual as it may sound, it's not for money. Now I'm getting a little ahead of myself, and you guys are going to put it all together, but I know you're smart because you're Next Step listeners, right? We want to bring together that Next Step listeners under a common umbrella of people who are using a little bit of the gray matter that's found between the ears. But before we go there, you know, Christmas time, I got to be honest with you, is filled with a lot of mixed emotions, and I know all of you feel that too. Many people have come and shared it with me to the point that I realize that I'm not alone, and I realize so many other people aren't alone. Sure, there's a lot of happiness, but there's also a lot of sadness. And I shouldn't say it's like sadness in the sense that, you know, it's too bad it's Christmas time, but it is a very lonely time. It's a time when you reflect, because it also happens to be the end of the year. You get to put together, well, what have you done with your life? Questions along with meaning and purpose of life. Questions, and you put it all together, and then you get even more upset about, hey, what's going on over here? And along with that, you have people singing, you know, holiday cheer and telling you how beautiful it is. And then there's the financial responsibility that you have. You have to start taking out loans. Credit cards become very popular during the Christmas time because you're being told that everybody wants a gift. People need gifts. And this is how you spend the holidays. And it's interesting for me because, you know, many times when I think about it, I say, how tragic is this? And I said a few minutes ago, we've always heard this story about the commercialization of Christmas. But think about it in these terms, and it's kind of simple, really. You know, if you think about it, you know, Christmas jumpstarts the economy. Isn't that wild? I forgot what percentage of the national economy here in the United States, but it's a significant amount, percentage, comes from Christmas sales. In other words, those sales between Thanksgiving, the end of November, and December 25th, or let's say by the end of the year. Okay? So think about this. Jesus is the life giver, and because of Jesus, because of Christmas, you're giving life, you're giving that dollar amount, you're jump-starting the economy and putting into the economy for this celebration of Christmas. Now, I know, that doesn't account for the commercialization. I mean, it's not an excuse, but it's a very real condition that exists today in the world. Because of Christmas holiday, the economies, at least I know here in the United States, and I know in many other economies, are literally given a new lease on life, thanks to this, to the consumption, thanks to the capitalistic fervor that exists all around us. Okay, so now think about that for a moment, okay, and let's take a different approach to it. Instead of talking about the commercialization. Let's talk it as a reality. As I said a few minutes ago, before our song today, I suggested that, you know, maybe it's time that we stop it. I've heard it for the last 50 years that it's commercialized, and we all know that reality, okay? So let's admit it, that Christmas is commercialized. And it is a time for gift giving. Well, let's now look at why. Well, what is Christmas? What is Christmas? It is the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's cute. You know, away in a manger, no crib for his bed. We all like those stories. We all love singing those Christmas carols, but sometimes those Christmas carols are just kind of like out in your mind, and you know, you say it without ritualistically. You say it without really thinking about the words or anything. But there it was. There it was. God having so much compassion for humanity. God loving his creation so much that he didn't want to see his creation fall. And he sends his very best. He sends his child. And away in a manger where there's no crib for his head, the little Lord Jesus is laying there with Mary and Joseph by his side and the cattle. And all of a sudden, we realize that God is reconciled. God wants to reconcile with humanity, and now it's up to us to accept that child who's in the manger. And God, on that first Christmas, on that nativity morning, gives us the greatest gift, because he says you no longer have to die. You no longer have to finish existence. You have eternity, and that eternity you can spend together, with love, with compassion. Now think about it. What a gift. You've gotten the ultimate gift. Each and every one of us has this gift that's been given to us by God. Namely, it's life, and it's eternal life. But it's a life that's full, and it's abundant life. Now it's up to us to process that life. And by that, what I mean is, when we talk about the gift-giving at Christmas, we realize that that life is a gift from God. And so, therefore, in his example, we give gifts. But to who? Now, here's the trick. Christmas is the birth of Christ. Okay, nice. If I was invited to a birthday party, who would I take gifts for? Everyone who is attending the party? Or would I take it to the person for whom the party was for? Birthday party for young Hagop. I'd probably go down to the store, look for some toys, maybe some nice clothes, and prepare something for little Hagop. And I would say, here you go, happy birthday. A gift for the birthday boy. Little Sona. Oh, I love shopping for little Sona. Go to the toy store, look for little toys, maybe find some clothes, put them together. And I would go to the birthday party and give a gift to little Sona. That's what birthdays are, right? Okay, now this is Christ's birthday. Now Christ isn't around. We don't see him. So we're having a hard time now giving the gift. Who do we give to? Well, what we're taught now is this. It's a time for gift giving. So you go through these catalogs, you rummage through them, and now, of course, you can go through the net, you can check out your apps. Quick, Amazon's got an app, right? And you can put in Christmas, and you could find all kinds of stuff, and you find things. And now, here's how we deal with this gift giving, okay? Let me give a gift to my neighbor Bill. I'm going to give him a gift. But you know what? Last year, I gave him a gift that cost me $25. He gave me something that only cost $15. I know, I'm being nitpicky. But you know what? I'm not going to spend $25 on him last time, because I remember that he gave back something less. So I'm going to give him something that is worth only $15. If I was smart, of course, I'd give him something $5, and that would make up the change. But anyway, you get the idea, right? Just being silly over here. Okay, so Bill has given me a gift. I'm giving a gift. And what do I do? I expect something back from him, don't I? Because otherwise, what am I giving a gift for? I'm giving a gift, you know, because it's the time of Christmas, and under the tree, you're going to see these gifts. And then you go, you do that with your neighbors, you do that with friends. How about at work? We have these great traditions. Oh, some of them are called the Silent Santa. You pick a name. Because after all, in the workplace, there may be 20, 30, 40, 50 people working there. Can't give a gift for everybody. So the Silent Santa, you pick out a name and you give a gift to that person. And if everybody does it with a common agreement that we will not spend more than $20, everybody in that work environment, 40 people, will get a gift not amounting more than $20 each. This makes a lot of sense. It's just mathematics and it's fun. Okay. Gotta see the bills afterwards. Beyond the Secret Santa, there's also another way that gift giving is done, is by sometimes agreeing beforehand in the workplace. Okay, there's 10 of us. We're not going to spend more than $20 a piece on each of them. Okay, $200 out of your budget. Go out. Do it. Now, what happens is that we get resentment. And we get tired, we get stressed, because there's so much to buy, so much to do, and you're out there and you say, what is this? Is this supposed to be reminding us of Christ's birth? And obviously it doesn't, right? Well, wouldn't it have been easier if Jesus told us what he wanted for Christmas, right? Now, if Jesus had made the list, then we can argue. If he was around someplace, if I saw him over there, right? Then I could say, okay, folks, you know what? This is Jesus' birthday. I've got a gift. I'm going to go take it to him. That would be plain and simple. Well, guess what? Jesus has given us his shopping list. Yeah, it's this week's Bible reading. In the Armenian Orthodox faith, this is what I told you, the Armenian Orthodox Christmas catalog. It's called Advent. And each of the Sundays of Advent is part of that Christmas catalog. And this particular Sunday is the one that points to the gifts. Because this particular Sunday, we read in the Armenian Church a passage that comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14, where Jesus specifically tells us what he would like for Christmas. It's almost like being Santa Claus and having Christ sit in your lap and going, ho, 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 isn't this wonderful? I now know what to get you for Christmas. It's that easy. And I'm going to tell you that right now. You're going to hear it right now. Because once you hear it, you'll say, wow, that's a no-brainer. Of course. Jesus has given me a gift. I need to give him a gift in return. It is his birthday. He's given me life. He's given me love. He's given me compassion. And now, poor Christ, he just wants one little thing from me. I can do that. I can do that. You know what? I have enough access to catalogs. I have the internet at my fingertips. I could punch in whatever he wants and I could get it, okay? And if I have to make a party for him, hey, at least it'll be a party that he'll enjoy. It'll be the kind of party that he's wanted. So if I'm gonna have a birthday party, or basically a Christmas party, let me organize it the way Jesus wants it. It is his feast. It is his birthday. Whatever he wants, we'll do, okay? So let's find out what is it that he wants for his birthday. We're having fun with that little clip. Thank you. Okay, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 12 and on. Okay? And I'm reading from the New International Version. Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or your sisters, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, Invite the lame. Invite the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus continues with a parable about a man who gives a great banquet, a big party. He talks about this man who sends out invitations to this party, to all of his friends, to everyone that he knows. And one by one, everyone refuses him. Everyone makes an excuse, to the point where he gets so frustrated and angered that he says, okay, fine, go out and call people that I don't know. Go and call the lame. Go and call the blind people. People who ordinarily wouldn't come to my party. People who ordinarily are put in one spot. Who are thrown out. The outcasts. You know that group? The ones that people don't talk about. They're not up on the first platforms. You don't see them. They're not being interviewed by the different hosts of different talk shows. They're not on the top 10 of who's popular. But you go and you call them. And I'll tell you what, none of those people, he says, who I invited will get to taste my banquet. Of course, Jesus in this parable was describing the scene that had happened to him. He had come to a world and everybody who had expected him had refused him. Everybody had given him an excuse. In many ways, it looks just like us. God has given us this beautiful life and we give excuses, right? Why not to enjoy this life? Why not to participate in the fullness of life? We pollute it. We pollute in our environments. We pollute our lives with different drugs, with smoking, with alcohol. We pollute it with jealousy, with envy, with lust. We pollute our lives to the point that all of the goodness that he has given us all of a sudden gets lost. And we look around us and we say that, hey, this is not the life that I should be living. I can live better than this. God wants me to live better than this. And so the invitation has gone out to someone else because we've refused it. And Jesus, what he describes as far as what he wants for his birthday is go out there and call people who cannot pay you back. Because this is what I did to you. You cannot pay me back. You are the people who have been invited to this banquet. And you've come. You've now been invited. You call yourselves Christian. You're sitting at my table. You're enjoying yourself at this banquet. And you have absolutely no way of paying me back. I've given you life and I've given you eternal life. What are you going to do? Pay me back with a $20 gift certificate to Macy's? What are you going to do? Buy a membership to Costco for me? I mean, what are you talking about? What possible payback is there? And the only thing that I want then is do it to other people. Let the chain continue. I did it for you. You do it for others. And so he says, do acts of charity. Do goodness. Not for people who can give back to you, who can repay you. But do it to people who have absolutely no way of giving back to you. And your reward will be great, he says. Now, you don't want to think about doing it for a reward. What you want to think about is that this is Christmas time, and Jesus is telling us, in no uncertain terms, that the greatest gift that we can give is the gift of our love to one another, to people who are in need, people who are perhaps lonely, finding some time to spend with them, people who are lost, finding some time to navigate them. Yes, that means time. That means being a mentor. That means counseling. That means walking with somebody. People, well, who are lonely, lost, let's add to them the people who are going through some financial difficulties all around us right now. People going through financial difficulties. You know, there are people who know about finances. And maybe it's difficult to dig into your pocket and find some money to help out other people, but can you counsel? Can you give some reading? Can you go through some material and help some of those people? How about on the destitute, the ones that are on the street? Can you put together some packages of food? Can you put together some packages of clothing? Some of the clothes that you haven't worn in years and is just occupying space in the closet. Put it together and give it to somebody. Now, here's a real difficult one, but it's very possible. Instead of all those little gifts that you're going to be buying for everybody in the office, $20 here, $20 there, $40 there, and $30 here, put that money together and go and buy something for a homeless shelter, for an orphanage, for some children who need some learning, for some children who are left alone today during the holiday season. One of the things that our church has done every Christmas for several years now, we have three ongoing programs. Along with our food drive, we prepare blankets and sweaters. We crochet these. We hand knit them. If you get a chance, check out on Facebook. There's some pictures on there too. And we deliver these to the children in cancer wards. This year we're going to be targeting the City of Hope in Duarte, California. And the children there. Imagine that. Now, we've put a restriction. We don't want you to go to a store, a mall, and buy a blanket. No, you have to create one. You have to give some time to it. And those kids are going to get something that means something. Because nobody else really cares except their families. And that is very powerful, of course. But nobody from the outside is looking at these poor children. Our church also does a drive, a toy drive. And these toys go to the battered children in shelters. Imagine that. A child waking up on Christmas morning and not even knowing it's Christmas. It's just another day. And the drabness of the shelter. But thanks to this small little church here in Glendale, we put together these toys that go to people who have absolutely no way of paying us back. Absolutely no way. And you know what? The warmth, the goodness that we feel in our hearts. Well, I hate to say this, it's already a reward. We've already gotten the payback. So it's not really fair to say that we're not expecting some payback, because those people who have participated keep doing it because they get paid back. It's just this warmth, it's this good feeling that you know you can do it. This is the Christmas to start it on. If you haven't, I know everybody practices charity, and I know the kind of people that we have listening to The Next Step. But what my call is really, is for us to really beef it up this year. You know, we're just seeing too much of it all around us. I mean, how many more, what else do you really need? Do that, okay? Sit down and say, what do I need for Christmas? Not what you want. What do you need? A lot of things that we want. I mean, Alec Baldwin, what was that? He wanted to get on an airplane and make all the noise and create disturbances without anybody hassling him. A lot of things that you want, right? What is it that you need? What do you need? Really, think about it. Very little. Very little, because God has given you the greatest of gifts. Now it's your turn to give to others. Here's Ani with today's spiritual bubble. We will be back in a few minutes, and I'm going to wrap it up by telling you what's going on this weekend. It's called the Children's Memorial. Be back in a few minutes.
Today's spiritual bubble is called Learning to Run. My 2-year-old likes to run. It warms my heart when I see his funny movements as he runs. And also scares me, because young children have a tendency to fall very easily. I was out shopping with my sons when my 2-year-old started to run. And then he fell. If you're a parent, you completely understand the phrase, "It hurts you more than it does them." There is something that pains worse than physical torment to see your little one hurt. He skinned his knee and his elbow. He cried for a few minutes, and finally, with the soothing of Daddy, he quieted down. We are all a little bit like my 2-year-old. There are so many areas of life where we must run, some by choice, some by the force of circumstances. There are so many new things. There are so many times when our steps are unsure and we are not experienced runners. The older I get, the more I understand how a Divine Father can let us go through some things and fall. I was tempted to stop my son when I saw him run. I knew that sooner or later, if not that day, then one day, he would fall. I also knew that if he was ever to learn how to run, he must fall, and often I had to watch him do it. I fell in business several times before I was able to run. I fell in relationships several times before I had sense enough to stop looking for perfection and know that we all have faults. Even your second child is reared differently from the first because you learn some things from falling with the first one. I fell off my bicycle. I fell off my motorcycle. I fell off my skates. I even choked a few times while I was learning to swim. We often fall when learning to run the things of our lives. Too often, bruises stop us from ever trying to run again. We're afraid that we will slip and get hurt, and we're afraid of the pain. My son runs much better now. I still wince when I see him run on a hard surface, but he won't stop running. At only 2, he has one of the keys of life. He won't stop running just because he fell. Your bruises will heal, you will get back up, and the path will still be there. Though at times you may not think it so, the Divine Father is watching over you. He just knows that he has to let you fall if you are ever to learn how to run. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
I wish there was an easier way. I really do. Thank you, Ani. That was so beautiful, as always, you know, just a very common, and what do we call that, a common sense kind of message there, but it's so true. Need a reminder. Always appreciate it when Ani gives us that reminder. Ani's bubbles, they're spiritual bubbles, much like the little soap bubbles that you blow. You know, they go up into the heavens, and you watch them take off. Well, these bubbles that she gives us every week let our minds wander, maybe to think about the times when we've fallen, the times that we are falling right now. Sometimes not physically, financially, relationships, and learning from those falls. Thank you again, Ani. As I said a few minutes ago, there are so many different feelings that come about during the Christmas season. Sure, there's a lot of holiday cheers, but there's a lot of depression, anxiety. It's a lot of difficulties created by the financial system. But perhaps the worst feeling during Christmas is that of loneliness, especially by those people who have suffered the greatest, most difficult loss that there is, the loss of a child. Perhaps because it goes against nature itself, right? Doesn't nature dictate that it is the children who bury their parents? That's the order. Parents give birth to children. Children bury their parents. And yet in this case, it is the parents who look down into a grave and see the face of a child, see a face of a child who they've loved, they've cared for, and now gone. This Sunday evening, we're going to be commemorating Children's Memorial Day. Met a beautiful family some 15 years ago named the Humparian family. They had suffered a loss as the one I just described. Young teenage girl, just starting her teens. Their daughter, Katya, was killed in an accident. It's interesting, these words that we use, isn't it? Accident. And in these 15 years, we've known the family, both as family friends, and I've had the pleasure of working for several years, for the last 8 years, with Katya's mother, Maria, here at the Youth Ministry Center in Glendale. And it's been an opportunity for us to cry together, for us to grow together. You see what devastation this kind of loss can do to a family. Because through them, we've gotten to meet so many other families. When, I believe it was back in 1998, Maria Hamparian approached me with this idea of commemorating, because there is a group called the Compassionate Friends, and I do wish to mention their names, and I'm going to make sure that there is a link on our show notes to their website. This is a national organization which orchestrates this worldwide candlelighting vigil. The idea of it is real beautiful. Imagine the children watching from heaven, and they see the globe, they see the earth below, and imagine a stream of lights that go across each time zone. So it's a worldwide event that's the second Sunday of every December. It begins at 7 o'clock in each time zone. So this is what I'm going to be calling out to, because here's the power of the internet and this podcast, okay? It starts off every year in the Australian area, and it is followed by a wave of lights. I mean, think about that, okay? The first candles are lit, candlelight ceremony. First candles are lit in Australia in that time zone, and then the next time zone at 7 o'clock, the next time zone at 7 o'clock, until it gets to us. We're way out here in the Pacific time zone. We're one of the last time zones where it hits, and at 7 o'clock we light our candles. And we've been doing this for several years, and during those years I've had the privilege, really, to meet some incredibly strong people, people who have... I'm not going to give you any phony thing about who have the patience, who have the courage, who have the strength to do all these things. I'm going to tell you, I've met some people who are very real. People who have pain, who aren't scared to cry, who have faced this absurdity and been able to keep their heads up and honor a memory that is so dear to them. And now, thanks to the Hamparian family, we have expanded this. It's been 15 years we've been doing it. We're calling it the Katia Hamparian Candlelighting Ceremony. It takes place this Sunday. It will be in Glendale, California, one of the few places in the Southern California area where this will be taking place. But here's the challenge, okay? Wherever you are. I know you're listening out there, okay? I want you to set your alarm right now. Okay, do it right now. Don't wait, okay? You all have cell phones. You all have something, a computer that has an alarm on there somewhere. Set your alarm this Sunday, 7 o'clock, whatever time zone you're in, okay? And I want you to go out, to get a candle, and go out. And let people look at you like you're some kind of weirdo out there. If you can find a few people, okay? And get out there on the street and light your candle. And I want you to think about this great tragedy. Think about these families. Offer a small prayer. Not for the angels that have gone to heaven, not for these little kids, because they really are in a place where there is no pain, no discomfort. But offer a prayer for strength, for courage, for these families that have to endure this pain. And together, that pain, I can't say becomes easier. I don't want to speak for them, but somehow that pain is one of those pains that we all feel. We start putting our feet in the shoes of theirs. And in feeling that, we can understand, and we can understand sometimes when people aren't smiley all around us, when people aren't so happy and so bubbly, we may understand that there is pain that we cannot understand. God rest the soul of these very precious angels. God give strength and courage. And God give you the memory, all of you out there, please. This Sunday evening, 7 o'clock, in any time zone you're at, you walk outside your door and you light a candle. Okay? And the angels from heaven will be watching. And this year we'll be watching for you. Yeah, I'm going to add a small little dimension that I hope you'll take me up on. Please, no matter what, go out and light the candle. But on top of that, if you haven't done so already, please do so right now. I want you to follow us on Twitter. Because what I'd like to do is, it's from 7 to 8, in whatever time zone you're in, I'd like you to tweet the name of a loved one, the name of someone you've known, someone who has passed away before their time. And if you don't know anyone, if you've been fortunate enough not to know anyone like that, then just offer a small message of hope and a message of love. And I like these to float around the earth. Just as that wave of light is going around the earth, let these tweets go around too. And you know what that is? That's energy. Energy is never created, nor is it destroyed. That's what these children are. These are beautiful energy. These are beautiful life that we've had in our midst. And they will never be destroyed. They will never go from us. They will always be around. This Sunday and always, we pray that God keep these lights lit in our minds and in our souls and in our hearts, that God give courage and strength to these families who've had to endure so much. So please join us by walking in the shoes of others. Well, we are at the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we've enjoyed producing it for you. Before we go, we want to remind you that Susie's going to come up with a wonderful offer in just a couple seconds, so stay tuned for that, and please do follow us. Remember, we're on Twitter at In His Shoes, and we'll send you a hashtag for the Katya Hamparyan Memorial coming up this Sunday. Join us also on Facebook, inhisshoes.org, and epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. For the wonderful team who put today's show together, for Ani with her bubbles, Susie our producer, and Ken our engineer, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
At epostle.net, you can say we're always in the Spirit, and we'd like to share that holiday cheer with you. Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, reminding you that your generous contributions have launched us to a worldwide audience. The Next Step with Father Voskin, now in its fourth year of production, is the voice of Armodoxy on six continents. We look forward to your continued support, and as a way of saying thank you to you, our listeners, we'd like to send you the critically acclaimed Spirit album by Gor Mkhitaryan. Produced in 2008 in collaboration with In His Shoes, Gor Mkhitaryan offers folk medleys and powerful poetry to express Armenian spirituality in the 21st century. We'd like to offer this spirit to you. For your tax-deductible donation in any amount, you'll receive this album, which has touched the hearts and souls of a new generation. Please visit our websites, inhisshoes.org or epostle.net, and press on the donate button. It's safe and secure. Or send a check to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, California, 91202. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. Merry Christmas to all. May it be filled with God's abundant blessings for you and your family. Մինչև հասնեմ իմ տուն And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.